It's time for Striking Fury with Billy and Panda. Everybody stand, everybody wave your hands. We the seventh man, Ontario fans. Say it loudly, say it proudly, Ontario, what? Ontario. Everybody stand, everybody clap. We the seventh man, Ontario fans. Say it loudly, say it proudly, Ontario, what? Ontario.
What's going on, Fury faithful? Welcome back to another episode of Striking Fury with Philly and the Panda, the official podcast of the Ontario Fury. I am one half of the husband and wife pair that has some outstanding, victorious Fury weekend news to share. The self-proclaimed beast from the East, I am Christian Philly Philemon. And with me in the studio, a woman filled with humor and intellect and a glass full of wine, perhaps Merlot, Amanda, the Panda, Philemon. What a pair of games this weekend. Wouldn't you say, Panda?
Oh my goodness, what a pair of games indeed. And no, it's not a Merlot, but it does start with an M. It is a mule, and it's going to keep me fueled for all the information that we have coming to you today, Fury faithful. We are so excited. We have a lot to go over. So why don't we just get this party started on what we'd like to call Super Bowl Sunday today?
Let's get this party started right indeed. Look, we have two games that we want to recap for y'all. But before we go forward with that, we would be remiss not to touch upon a couple of topics that are league related.
All right, so the first bit of news comes from the top of the MASL. The news that was rather shocking was the announcement of the end of season resignation of league commissioner Joshua Schaub. This becomes effective June 1st, 2021. The idea is that by the day of the tax deadline, April 15th, this league will have a new commish. Josh vacates his office after being the face of the league for 5 years.
Yeah, and during his tenure, the guy's accomplished quite a bit. As per the MASL website, his accomplishments are as follows. Oversaw a reorganization of the MASL as a 501c6 entity with a revamped league governance model.
He introduced a league-wide P1 visa oversight program.
He led the creation of M2 and M3 subdivision leagues and the associated right-sizing of teams to those divisions.
The MASL held its first ever All-Star game.
Directed the creation of MASL.TV and the redesign of the league's IT stack and brand image.
And the MASL signed its first national and regional television deals.
Ticket sales revenue increased over 20% league-wide during his tenure.
The MASL continued international play, including the reintroduction of Monterey and Sonora to league play.
Commissioned the league during the reintroduction of historical indoor soccer brands, the Dallas Sidekicks and the Rochester Lancers.
He introduced Spanish language social media and dual language broadcast for MASL finals matches.
Led the launch of MASL Primetime, a weekly highlight show providing of an increase in media content.
He secured multiple partnership deals on behalf of league members. And directed the establishment of minimum standards for broadcast and team operations.
Look, quite the laundry list. This league is 7 years old. A lot has been done, but even more needs to be accomplished to get this league to the next level. Complacency is a killer, and with this being as wacky of a season as many of us has experienced, the league needs to pull itself up, buy its bootstraps, put some money, and the leadership it deserves in place. Look, the bones are there. The structure is there. It just needs adjustments and money. If COVID can't kill this league, nothing will. It's time to get crack-a-lackin', folks. And we can all play a part in the movement of this league. Sure, we can't go to the games, but we can buy the pay-per-views. We can post about our favorite teams. We can spread the word to friends. We can have virtual and soon-to-be watch parties with our friends. We can go to our favorite teams' websites and buy some merch. That is our role. As minute as it is, that is our role as supporters of the game. That's how we can help. And hopefully the next head of this league can take what he or she inherits and boost it higher. My only hope is that the next person in charge takes this time seriously and has the gumption to steer the ship in the right direction.
Yeah, ironically enough, the commission makes this announcement on the same day that three more teams opt out of the season, unfortunately. With Baltimore Blast opting out a few weeks ago, I suppose it was only time for the rest of the East Coast contingent to follow suit. Utica FC, Rochester Lancers, and the Harrisburg Heat opt out of the 2021 season. They now join Mesquite, Turlock, Orlando, Monterey, Sonora, and the defending champion Milwaukee Wave at the golf course this season. These teams initially committed to playing a minimum of 12 games. Difficult decision, no doubt. What's crazy is that the Lancers' home Dome Arena was turned into COVID vaccination center by the state. So 7 out of the 17 teams in this league remain, which means, hey, Ontario Fury have a 14.3% chance of winning the Newman Trophy at this point. That is a 1-for-7 in the math, in case you were wondering. And don't give me that asterisk noise. Everyone in this league would require an asterisk at this point.
We know what the remainder of the month of February looks like. Matches in March, that announcement is right around the corner. And one last bit of news before we move on to the Fury. The Sidekicks finally snapped their losing streak. They provided a very spirited effort against a horrifically depleted Tacoma Stars lineup. The Stars were without 11 of their players. Out due to COVID protocol, you had several key components to this lineup. All right, but Dallas had a few players out as well. And despite being down practically an entire team, I mean, you had guys like Corey Keats, Finney Dantas, Nick Pereira, I mean, Danny Waltman, I mean, so many players out for Tacoma. But despite this, Tacoma gave Dallas a match and even a scare. Most people would have assumed the Stars would have been shattered. But oh no, my friends. Despite being down 4-1 in the fourth quarter, the Stars clawed back to tie the game and extend this affair into overtime. But it was Brazilian forward Felipe de Souza who scored the golden goal. Tremendous effort by the Stars. But now, the final team without a win in the standings finally managed to chalk up a W. Maybe it wasn't pretty. Maybe it wasn't comfortable. But who wants to lose pretty when you can win ugly? Congrats, Dallas. Y'all got a season.
Now that we've touched on news pertinent to this league, let's have some fun and get into the good stuff. Man, what a weekend.
What a weekend, absolutely. Not because of the Super Bowl. Also not because we made money on this match. Disclaimer, I learned as a child betting 4 straight years on the Buffalo Bills, yes, I gambled back then too, that I don't have a knack for this.
It was quite a weekend because the moments we have all been waiting for have finally come. We finally got Ontario Fury match days in our lives, Fury faithful, and they did not disappoint. We're still buzzing after the outcome of these two matches, and you know, they made us wait a long time, and boy, was it worth it. The Fury hopped a flight to the Show Me State of Missouri, and from St. Louis International, they hopped on the I-79 and a half miles to Family Arena in St. Charles. This was to be a homecoming for Fury midfielder Justin Stenson. He's from St. Charles. He also played 2 seasons for the Ambush, having a very successful campaign in 2018 and 2019, where he had 20 goals, 11 assists in 24 games. The Fury played back-to-back matches, and we're going to start with the recap of the Friday night match first.
Hopefully the majority of you got to catch the game at home, or hopefully you got to hit up Rowdy's Brewing Company for the watch party. The Friday matchup was intense. The Fury haven't taken the field for a match in 335 days. Their last match came March 7th of last year, where they defeated the Tacoma Stars. 335 days without a match will leave any pro player feeling like a ravenous Wolverine. And as a ravenous Wolverine, the Fury attack they did.
Yeah, the starters for the Fury were as follows. So we had DeLima in net, Goncalves, Uzi Tayu on defense, the hometown boy Justin Stenson, Charlie Gonzalez in the midfield, and of course Frank Tayu at forward. On the bench we had Molina, Topete, Chile Farias, Pacheco, Abdul Mansere, De Leon, De Abreu, Hughes, and Palmer. It's extremely important to note the fact that the Ambush came into this matchup severely depleted.
Oh, absolutely. In terms of actual injury, they lost last year's Rookie of the Year, Deduka, to an Achilles tendon. Wrist surgery for Pepe. And then you had a couple of other players that were questionable. Paulo, he was out. And then Edo Jahic, concussion protocol. Oh. So those are the players that actually had the injury. And then they had a couple of players 6 to be exact, that had potential COVID-19 exposure. And these are team leaders. You had Max Ferdinand. You had Sam Gerency. You had Stefan Mihajlovic. You had Will Niamsi. You had Paolo. And then you had Richard Schmermermund. All out. Brett Petracek, the backup keeper, gets the start between the pipes for the ambush. He would go on to have a heck of a game alongside his running mate, the crossbar.
All right, so let's get into this actual match itself. And it started out with a bang. 42 seconds into the match, Felipe Silva fouls St. Charles native Justin Stinson. That gave Charlie Gonzalez a free shot on goal that hit the crossbar. And that would be a theme throughout the course of this entire matchup. 3 minutes and 4 seconds in, Justin Stinson had the first shot that made Petracek earn his paycheck. We know Frank is the scoring machine on this team. That's automatic. But Stinson scored 16 goals in his first season with the Fury. You got the feeling that being back in your hometown, playing in front of friends and family, probably added just a little bit more pressure. And we knew what was going on and had fingers crossed that he would have a good weekend. But more on that later.
4 minutes and 3 seconds in, Frank had a shot that was blocked by McGee. This guy had some incredible defensive plays throughout the course of the season. I'd think that if both Paolo and Petracek were hurt, he should get consideration to be the next keeper due to some of those incredible clearances that he's had, not only in this weekend, but prior to that as well. He had blocks and saves. He's had quite the season in that position.
Yeah, 5 minutes and 25 seconds in, the Moldovan Irishman Vadim Kojakov had his shot blocked by the favorite son of Covington, Kentucky, Jeff Hughes, and one of my favorite players because we share the same number, 32. Shout out to that. 40 seconds later, former Ontario Fury player Tony Walls tests De Lima, but the young keeper makes the save. Interesting to see De Lima starting. One would think the veteran Chewy Molina could get the start in net, but Jimmy made a darn good decision, I'll have to say, with Clayson.
And, you know, shout out to our owner, Jeff Burham. He mentioned on our social media, he had a comment. He said the team has great players, league scoring machine in Frank, and the best midfielders in the league. But he said, quote, the surprise of the season is De Lima, star on the horizon. And we couldn't agree with Jeff more. Although he made a nice save, 2 seconds after that, the ambush draw first blood when Howard Miller Jr. takes an assist from Tony Walls and finds the back of the net for his third goal of the season. Halfway into this first quarter, the Fury were the dominant team. Thiago Goncalves had fired a rocket towards Petracek. Then you had an attempt by Stinson. Then Frank's taking a crack at it. Uzi's taking a crack at it. Charlie hitting the post. And if you made a drinking game out of the number of times the Fury hit the post, Panda, you would have been wobbling to the bathroom by halftime.
That's probably very, very true. But despite the Herculean efforts, though, the hometown ambush capitalized on their second attempt and gave their fans a little something to cheer for. Between the 7:27-7:31 mark, the Tyu brothers both have an attempt on goal. Frank gets his shot saved by Petracek, and then Uzi makes an attempt, but that pesky McGee is there to make the clearance. It would be less than a minute later when the Fury get the equalizer at 8:05, and welcome to Ontario, Robert Palmer. He scored, and it's the game assist by Maicon De Abreu. All that happened when Berto pickpocketed a pass from Petracek. And say that 3 times fast. What an alliteration. Wow.
Might as well face it. You're addicted to goals. Shout out to the other Robert Palmer.
And that is how the first quarter ended, everyone. 1-1. Let's get into the second quarter.
Yep. Starts off with Jeff Hughes, Covington, Kentucky's finest, firing a rocket above the bar 42 seconds into the second. And it wouldn't take long for the ambush, though, to get their revenge goal. A minute and 20 in, Howard Jr. gets his second of the day, assisted by Axel Duarte. We are now down again, 2-1, early on. 3 minutes later into the game, 4:05, De Lima gets a save on a shot by Marcos. Panda, can you say his first name? What is Marcos' first name?
Mario.
Not to be confused with Nintendo. 5 minutes and 13 seconds in, Charlie Gonzalez gets fouled hard by
Mario.
He was down for a little bit, but thankfully he got up. You know, less than a minute later, Berto had a shot on goal, saved by Petracek. Here's a fun fact for you Fury folks. For one reason or another, every time I typed Petracek on my phone, it would autocorrect to Ostrich Rock. Thought that was kind of funny. Hope that gives you a cackle. Certainly made Panda and I laugh. And every time we caught his name or heard his name mentioned, we couldn't help but think Ostrich Rock.
We may have to change that in all. Anytime you hear Ostrich Rock, just know that we may be referring to Petrček. But he did make three key saves within this time span. He again was peppered throughout the course of the match, as well as the MVP of the evening for the ambush, the crossbar.
Fury dominating possession, dominating the shots on goal. But yet again, the ambush capitalized on one of their few attempts on De Lima. 11 minutes, 38 seconds in, Felipe Silva scores on the assist by Lucas Almeida. Almeida would get another attempt a minute and change later, but shot saved by De Lima. Frank would have the last attempt on goal, but once again, an ostrich rock saved that goal.
La,
la, la, la, la, la.
La 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 la.
La 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 la.
That was our very, very poor attempt at bringing you Crocodile Rock because, well, there's no song called Ostrich Rock, and that was the first thing we could think of. And that's pretty much what I think of anytime I hear Ostrich Rock was Elton John's Crocodile Rock. So, folks, that's how the first half ends. We are 3-1 at halftime. The shots are 17-10 at the moment. We are peppering them with shots, but for whatever reason, we're having a hard time getting past that crossbar.
Yeah, the boys looked pretty good in the opening 30 minutes of the match, but unlucky were the attempts. Plenty of shots either saved by Petrček on the post or the crossbar, but, you know, it could have been a rout at this point, to be completely honest with you. Again, we certainly dominated possession, but the ambush made the best of their chances. The attempts were there. The passing was there. The possession was there. And going into the locker room, we had no doubt that Jimmy, LB, and Coach Kevin Curtin were going to rally these boys and make a few adjustments. 3-1 is not a big, nor is it a secure lead in the indoor game.
So let's start the third quarter. The Fury, as we expected, came out hot right out of the gate. Stinson has a shot that gets blocked. Minutes after that, Charlie hits the crossbar again. And then in 3:18, we get our first power play of the season when Greg Krantz gets charged with holding. Naughty, naughty, Mr. Krantz. To the sin bin you go, and to the power play we go. In 3:52, Mykon gets a shot, but it's saved by Petrček.
Yeah, slightly after that, Chile gets a crack on Petrček. He is no stranger to the indoor game, Fury folks. He's appeared in 479 indoor games and has had a career that is older than a majority of the players on either side of the pitch. Quite an impressive feat. It really is. Dare I say that he's the Tom Brady of the indoor game on the Super Bowl Sunday, Panda?
You could say that. And after today's result, which we all now know how that ended, that would be quite a comparison. And I'm sure he would take it as quite the compliment, to be honest. So anyways, Ambush do manage to successfully complete the penalty kill, padding their 0.818 percentage. And at 7:32, we get another Fury goal, this time by Nestor Hernandez, assisted by Charlie Gonzalez, and this cuts into the lead, and now we are at 3-2.
Heck of a goal. He loads up his grenade launcher and ambushes the back of the net. You see what I did there, Panda?
I see what you did there. Yes, I did.
2.5 minutes later, the king addresses the court with his first goal of the season, served to him on a platter by
Mykon de Abreu,
who gets his second assist on the day. First one was to Robert Palmer, in case you forgot. And now we've got a ball game. It is tied 3-3, and off to the races we go.
Or do we?
Less than 2 minutes after Frank's goal, we are seeing blue. Served with a smurf is what I call getting a blue card for having too many men on the turf. And that's how I'm going to refer to it. Anytime there is a blue card dished, served with a smurf. That's what I'm going to call it. Why? Because why not? Trying to be creative here, trying to make things fun. This would prove to be costly for the Fury. 11 minutes and 50 seconds in, Corey Adamson, served up by Lucas Almeida, fires a shot on goal from a crazy angle, and it gets past De Lima. 4-3 ambush, and yet again, they capitalize on their efforts, and they capitalize on mistakes by the Fury.
But once again, you get the king rolling. Heads go on the chopping block, and this time it was Englishman JT Thomas. He got rocked Frank ties the game at 14:34, and JT Thomas gets closely acquainted with a man that looks like he was built from stone. The third quarter ends, and it certainly had a fair amount of drama to it.
4-4 entering the final quarter of the match. Watch out, we got a barn burner in Family Arena. This quarter was all fury in terms of possession and shots on goal, and really you could argue that that was the case all match long. However, we did have a bit of a scare. It looked as if the Ambush would take the lead again on a goal by Corey Adamson, but thankfully that was called back as a result of a foul on JT Thomas, and not only does he get rocked by Tyu in the previous quarter, he cost his team a goal. Had to breathe a sigh of relief on this one. Yikes.
Yeah, Petrček in this quarter got peppered by the Fury more than in any other quarter. Frank gets a shot blocked. Pacheco gets a shot blocked. Jeff Hughes gets a shot blocked. You get a shot blocked. I got a shot blocked.
Schmitty got a shot blocked.
Everyone gets a shot
Schmitty's
blocked.
Schmitty's our cat.
The crossbar gets a few saves. Adamson had a great game. Howard Jr. played well. Ostrich Rock had a lot of great saves. But that post and crossbar, I would contact the facility manager at Family Arena and ask that they repaint everything, because I'm sure that it was nicked up quite nicely.
To add insult to injury in the fourth quarter, the already depleted Ambush looked like they would lose another player.
Mario.
Marcos, as he heads to the bench with 7 minutes and 4 seconds left in the game. Here's a funny thing we could all laugh about. At around the 6:40 mark, and you're not going to get this on the MASL recaps, only on Striking Fury with Philly and the Panda, we get what seems to be a minute of action from behind the Fury net. Not sure what happened here. Perhaps the cameraman went out for a corn dog. Speaking of corn dogs, shout out to our friends Adam, Matt, and Giovanni at In the Box. They have become a prominent source in our quest to get news from around the league, and also to learn about M2 and M3. Give them a follow on Instagram on ITB Corn Dog. Follow them on Facebook and Twitter. I personally learned a lot from these guys. I know, Panda, you have too.
Yeah, definitely. Check them out. They're great guys. A lot of knowledge. We're very fortunate to be able to have conversations with them. But back to the match. 5:45 left. Topete, he has a header that hits the woodwork, but we couldn't tell what happened because, well, we just heard the broadcast team, because all we could see is netting in the back of De Lima from far away. De Lima was causing quite the dilemma, as I would say, because...
Ooh, I like that. Well done.
Yes, again, that's all we could see. It was quite the angle. Haven't quite watched a match from that angle. It was interesting, but thankfully it was short-lived, and at that time we were able to see. Nestor has a shot, hits the woodwork. Charlie has a shot, hits the woodwork. We'd be winning by a ton at this point. Check those flight balls, ref. There's a magnet in them, and they are attracted to everything but the back of the net.
At this point, we got a bit of back and forth. And by forth, I mean the Fury firing shots. Other than Frank getting tackled by Felipe. Someone tell him the Super Bowl is Sunday, though, and that it's inappropriate to get that close to a player while we are still deadlocked. But again, the king addresses the court. Here's where it gets crazy. With 56 seconds left, Frank sneaks one in past Petrček, assisted by Charlie Gonzalez, and the Fury have their first lead of the game, and it couldn't have come at a better time. 56 seconds left into the game. We are now sitting on top, 5-4, and that's how the Friday night matchup ended. We see an angry Kochakov at the end of the match, but that's all the fireworks we needed for one night. What a game, and the final stats of the game are as follows.
All right, guys, so shots. This was severely lopsided. The Ambush had 17. The Fury had 38. Same with shots on goal, 17-38. No shots missed. Blocked opponent shots. Ambush had 17 to our 5. Clearly they were getting peppered all night. As far as power plays go, there were 1-for-1 for the Ambush. We had 0. So as far as power play percentage, they scored. So that gave them a 1.0 to our 0. Penalty minutes, they had 2. We had 0. Fouls, 18 to our 22. Of course, our stars of the game, we had who else but Frank the Tank Tyu, as I like to refer to him as. He had 3 goals. Charlie Gonzalez had 2 assists. And from the Ambush, Howard Miller Jr. had 2 goals.
Special recognition also has to go out to the following players, Panda. Nestor Hernandez and Robert Palmer scoring 1 goal apiece, and Mayakan De Abreu notching 2 assists. De Lima saw 12 shots, and he had 8 saves. This game was a grind, but a total team effort. Super proud of these boys. They stuck together and pulled through. Something mentioned by the St. Louis broadcast team, and I agree. They mentioned that Frank didn't have the dominating performance you would expect, but a decent or not up to form game still has Frank Tyu scoring a hat trick. That's how dominant he really is.
Yeah, it's crazy to think that on not the greatest times that he had in a game, he is still scoring hat tricks. So that's a testament to his talent. Man, I do not want to be on the opposing team when he is up 100%, which I know we're going to see here real shortly. It's no surprise that this team came out looking a little rusty, like they had to knock the dirt off their cleats. You know, they'd been sitting there for a while. It has been
35 days of not playing.
Absolutely. And, you know, they've played each other. They haven't played actually other teams. So for them to pull out this win and in the fashion they did, you know, I don't think we could have wrote it any better. Super, super proud of these boys and happy to be able to call this first match a win. Fury, we are now 1-0 with the ambush for this little series.
Absolutely. Now let's move on to Saturday. Unlike Friday, Saturday's match wouldn't be as close as the game moved on. To start this game, Jimmy made a slight change to the starting lineup. If you wonder why you didn't hear the name Izzy Cisse, it's not because we made any mistakes. It's because he was suspended for the first game of the season. Why, you ask? Here's the reason. 7 penalty points. One game suspension that had to have been served on March 13th of last season. There was an undisclosed fine issued for the point accumulation, and the season concluded prior to the suspension being served. They rolled over that suspension to game one of the 2021 season. Can you believe that?
Yeah.
Jimmy and the Fury appealed, but it fell upon deaf ears. The league wasn't having it, and the longest tenured player with 120 games as a member of the Fury under his belt had to wait one more day to get his 121st.
All right, so with him back in the lineup now, the starting lineup is as follows. We still have De Lima in net. We have Goncalves, Izzy, Maicon, Charlie, and Frank. It did not take long for the Fury to make an impact in this game, folks. If you didn't tune in right at the very beginning, then you missed the first goal.
28 seconds into the matchup, Charlie Gonzalez serves his Royal Majesty up with his 4th goal of the season. Petracek and the ambush defense weren't ready for it. And to tell you the truth, neither was I. I had barely sat down, and all of a sudden, Panda is screaming goal. Nice way to start off the match. 1-0.
At no point would the Fury relinquish their lead. At the 104 mark, Nestor would have a shot on goal saved by Petracek. And then a couple minutes later, Frank would have another attempt but saved by Petracek. A few minutes after that, though, we have an equalizer from Kojakov assisted by keeper Petracek. Man, I say that name a lot. He came out of the gates hard. He was heated towards the end of the previous match, as we had mentioned earlier. He kept in that anger, and it paid off for them.
Fury came right back, though, with a shot by Pacheco. That does get blocked by Petracek. 9 seconds later, Nestor gets his shot, blocked by Felipe Silva. Petracek and the back line at this point are getting attacked. Tied to Stinson with 7:49 left. Stinson with a fancy footwork shot fired, bangs off the crossbar. Where have we heard that? 11 minutes and 32 seconds. Big Frank gets his 2nd goal of the game and his 5th of the season. Served up once again by Charlie Gonzalez. He gets a hell of a pass. Gets the boot on it. In a game. This is crazy. In a game, in less than a quarter, Frank is halfway up to catching Ian Bennett from the Florida Tropics, who is the current league goal leader with 10. It didn't take long for Frank to cut that lead in half. Ian Bennett's got 10 goals. Frank has his 5th of the season. It wouldn't end there. More on that later.
Yeah, De Leon a minute later had a clear rifle of a shot, but Petracek there to save it. We will come back to George in just a bit. In 13-14, there was a goal by St. Charles grown midfielder and former ambush player Justin Stenson. In front of his family and his friends, no doubt, gets his first goal of the season. He gets a fantastic pass from Maicon and puts Mike Sharp... I keep wanting to call him Mike Scarf because we had our buddy Scarf around. But Mike Scharf in his back pocket and launches one past Petracek. I have to say, the footwork and control he had on that ball was flawless. And if I'm not mistaken, we have on our Instagram posted that actual goal because it was so impressive just to see him stay composed in that moment and take the shot that he knew was going to end up in that goal.
3-1 at this point. The Fury are rolling. and they're putting in a total team effort at this point. But we nearly get a fourth goal with 0.05 seconds left. Nestor takes a shot, and Uzi Tayu manages to scoot one past Ostrich Rock, but the goal is called back due to a handball. That would have been an incredible goal and a potential backbreaker for the ambush. 3-1, that's how the first quarter ends.
Yeah, I don't know how I feel about that call of a handball because, one, we don't get very many replays in these games, unfortunately. And from what it looked like his shoulder. But, you know, I guess we can't really argue it. And I guess they were going to take any breathing room that they could get at that point. So no one contested it. We moved on. The second quarter begins with a similar view that we had in the last match that, guess what? We're going to call it the corn dog view. The cameraman was clearly out searching for corn dogs again. So we get to start the second quarter with the view of the back of the net. But thankfully, it didn't seem as long this go around, though. At the 3:18 mark, George DeLeon fires a shot, but he gets saved by Petrček. A minute later, Maicon takes a crack at it, but he's blocked by Felipe Silva. So at the 5:37 mark, we've got JT Thomas trying to wake up DeLima because he's only saw two shots his way in this first quarter. So we want to highlight Goncalves taking down Howard Jr. It was a no call, but he looked like he was in quite a lot of pain.
Cheers to that.
Pretty sure I saw his soul leave his body for a split second, but it came back because, you know what, the ambush cannot afford to lose another player. Otherwise, they're going to need to raffle off roster spots at halftime.
That's a great raffle. Hey, $5 gets you a shot at putting on an ambush jersey and playing against the Ontario Fury.
I think they'll take all the help they can get, considering how many men they are down. But Charlie and George each take turns. Their shots get blocked. Yet again, more domination, more possession, and shots by the Fury. However, 9:44, Corey Adamson, much like he did the previous match from a ridiculous angle, finds the back of the net. He gets his third of the season, and now we are 3-2 Fury at this point.
Yep, 3-2 at this point. And moving forward, I want to talk about what I think is the save of the day, folks. It didn't belong to DeLima. It didn't belong to Petrček. It didn't belong to the crossbar or the netting, but to George DeLeon with a highlight reel of a save. Kojakov had a bunny of a goal to chip in. And then out of nowhere, DeLeon comes in and blocks the shot, clears the ball with some incredible athleticism. Panda and I lost our minds. He prevented the tie from happening. 4 seconds left in the first half. Topete had a shot that from our angle looked like it went in. He thought it went in as well. But alas, no goal. And that's how the first half of action ends. Fury headed into the locker room with the lead 3-2. As far as shots are concerned, 21-6 in our favor. It's amazing that this wasn't more of a lopsided match. Can't blame the ambush. They once again were without a lot of their key players.
All right, so we've got the second half beginning, and boy, would we get a blizzard of goals. And we're going to acknowledge Coach Jimmy Nordberg with making that prediction. He texted us and said, forecast in St. Louis is currently snowing with a 100% chance of a blizzard of Fury goals.
To quote my father-in-law, Panda's dad, Rob Harnischfeger, let's get furious.
36 seconds. He's going to love that, by the way. Shout out to my dad.
Shout out, Dad.
Yes, he listens to the pod, and we're so thankful of that. 30 seconds in, Thiago Goncalves with a first shot on Petrček. Couple minutes later, JT Thomas gets blocked by George DeLeon. Another impressive defensive effort. But a second later, the Scunthorpe Youth Academy product buries his third of the season. They certainly share the workload on the ambush team in terms of goals scored. And now we are tied 3-2-3.
If you were wondering what Scunthorpe is, it is a team in the fourth tier of the English division. And ironically enough, a jersey which I have in my closet. Here's the other ironic part, Panda. Even though I have a Scunthorpe jersey, JT Thomas happens to be from a town in England called Doncaster. There is another English team called the Doncaster Rovers. And I happen to have that jersey too in my closet. What is the probability of having a jersey of a guy named JT Thomas from Doncaster Rovers who played for Scunthorpe? I have the jerseys both in their closets. What are your thoughts on that?
I am not in the least bit surprised considering the insane amount of jerseys that you have in your closet. It's incredible. So yeah. No, this doesn't surprise me
Jersey.
One bit. So yeah, I mean, what else are you going to have in there? I'm not even surprised.
So to me, when we go travel, people like to buy t-shirts. They might like to buy tiles, shot glasses, or mugs. I personally like to go to soccer stadiums, and I personally like to buy scarves and jerseys. A heck of a lot more expensive than magnets and shot glasses, but for me, that's what I want. I don't want a stupid t-shirt that says, I scaled the Great Wall of China. I want to have a jersey from like Shanghai FC. That's what I'm into. Panda, on the other hand, I don't know if she still has the same enthusiasm for my addiction that I do, but, you know, that's neither here nor there.
I'd say the sagging rod in your closet right now would disagree with your obsession.
If you were playing Striking Fury Bingo and you had the term sagging rod, you would be a winner.
You could check that off your bingo card right now. All right, well, let's just get back to the game. We have been talking a lot about George DeLeon making impressive defensive stops. This time, let's talk about how DeLeon buries rather than blocks a goal. In the 6:07 mark, he didn't bury it right away. What was more impressive was the fact that he got the ball with three defenders in front of him. He managed to shove all of them in his back pocket and smashes one past Petracek. And now we are at 4-3, Fury faithful.
I have to say the footwork and the control he had on that ball, too, was flawless. Panda, you had mentioned that earlier about Stinson. I had to repeat that for De Leon. Welcome to Ontario, George. Impressive, impressive goal.
At 7:38, Charlie Gonzalez blocks JT Thomas. And then 13 seconds later, brilliant play. Nestor dishes to Charlie, and Charlie punches in a goal. It is now 5-3, Fury.
Great defense, great passing, great goal, great Scott. Shout out Dr. Emmett Brown from Back to the Future.
A minute and change later, Charlie tried his hand at another goal, but it was saved by Petracek. Stinson gets a shot at Petracek. He gets blocked. 11:55, we got another goal. George De Leon gets his second of the game, served by Topete.
6-3, and then 1:09 later, Justin Stinson with his second of the day, served to him via Frank the Tank Tayu. We are now at 7-3. The ambush getting battered by the offensive juggernaut that is the Ontario Fury, and this is unfamiliar territory for them. For the most part, they have kept their matches close. Last season, 7 of their 9 wins came by a single goal. This season, 2 of their 4 wins were also by a single goal, but this time around, they are getting shebang-banged.
Yeah, the third quarter ends, Fury firing on all cylinders. It only gets worse for the ambush in the third quarter. Fury are firing on all cylinders, and it only gets worse for the ambush in that third quarter. The fourth quarter, it begins. Tony Walls trying to assert himself into the matchup with a shot on goal. De Lima's there to clean it up. 1:09, Nestor gets a shot on Petracek. And then right after that, Frank takes a shot at Ostrzodrok.
La, 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 la.
The persistent peppering of Petracek continues.
Oh, geez. Try saying that several times. Persistent peppering of Petracek. Persistent peppering of Petracek.
Persistent peppering of Petracek.
Persistent peppering of Petracek. All right, I failed. I suck. 3:03 in, Frank again blocked by Petracek, who is persistently getting peppered. Oh, that was tough. St. Louis conceded defeat so early that head coach Everton, who, by the way, as a player, won 3 championships during his 7 seasons with the Milwaukee Wave, where he played for Keith Tozier, the winningest indoor soccer coach of all time. 6:49, Petracek gets pulled, and the ambush are trying to make the man advantage work for them. But less than 2 minutes from that, Frank Tayu scores his 3rd and gets his 2nd consecutive hat trick with a delivery from Robert Palmer. Frank Tayu now has 6 on the season and 2 games and is only 4 short goals of tying Florida's Ian Bennett for the league lead in goals scored. 8-3, Fury at this point.
Yeah, the goal of the game from the ambush, if not one of the goals of the weekend, to be fair, came at the 9:20 mark when Corey Adamson loads up with a bicycle kick and fires one past De Lima. It came off of a save a second prior that De Lima made that bounced off the boards. Ambush stopped the bleeding, but only for a brief moment. 1:17 later, Maicon gets rewarded with a goal of his own in the 10:37 mark, and it is now 9-4, Fury. He certainly earned that one. Up to this point, he was becoming quite the assist man, along with Charlie Gonzalez and Nestor Hernandez.
The next 3 minutes is where you saw a fair amount of ambush shots. They didn't have many throughout the game. Heck, they didn't have many throughout the weekend, to be honest. 13 minutes and 49 seconds, and Charlie Gonzalez from Jeff Hughes had a wide open net, and he scores the 10th and final goal of the game. But it was kind of funny. There was a little bit of a chat here between Charlie Gonzalez and Jeff Hughes. Panda, what did it look like to you?
You know, Jeff Hughes had a wide open goal. There was probably no reason for Gonzalez to tap it in, but I think instincts kicked in, and he did what was natural to him, is he made sure that goal was going in. But I think as he walked back, he kind of looked at Jeff, my bad, because I could have been credited to him. So in my head, I'm going to give you that goal, Jeff Hughes, because Charlie's already had a few, and I think that was well-deserved, because that's exactly where it was going, was in the back of the net, off your foot.
10-4 is how it ends. The whistle gets blown. The Fury finished the weekend 2-0, and the Ambush are left to dust themselves off and revamp for their next matchup against the Kansas City Comets in Independence, Missouri at Cable Dahmer Arena on February the 12th. Final stats for this game are as follows. If you thought the shot differential in Game 1 was crazy, wait till you listen to this. Shots, Ambush 22, Fury 43. Blocked opponent shots, 13 by the Ambush, 7 by the Fury. No power plays, no power play percentage, no penalty minutes, and this game had a bit of a chippy affair to it in terms of fouls. 20 by the Ambush, 25 by the Fury. This was one heck of a statement from the Fury. I know St. Louis wasn't at full strength, but then my argument is the Fury hadn't played for 335 days. So there.
All right, let's get into man of the match. We had Charlie Gonzalez with 4 points. He had 2 goals, 2 assists. Frank, he also had 4 points with 3 goals, 1 assist. Shout-outs to Justin Stinson on his 2 goals. A shout-out to George De Leon on his defensive efforts and his 2 goals. Shout-out to Maicon de Abreu, 1 goal, 1 assist. And shout-out to Topete, Nestor Hernandez, Jeff Hughes, and Robert Palmer for getting the assists. De Lima saw 15 shots, making 11 saves, and getting his 2nd win of the season. Thoroughly impressed with the boys this weekend. They deserved these victories.
One thing we hadn't mentioned is the fact that the passing of Joseph the Jet Kyrell loomed heavily over the Ontario Fury. This is the first time and the first weekend they took the turf without him. He may be gone, but he will never be forgotten. I love the homage the team paid towards him. The team had his jersey, and they wrote messages to him, and they posted it in the locker room. He was there, and on the pitch, he was there. They also wore warm-ups with Kyrell's number 91 on it. This season, the goal is not only to win the Newman Cup for Ontario, but to win in honor of their fallen teammate. It was a heartwarming tribute to him. Justin Stinson even wrote on his Nikes about it. We can't help but tear up thinking about this. But again, rest in peace, Joseph the Jet Kyrell. Gone, never forgotten. Win for the Jet, baby. That is the 2021 battle cry.
So the Fury, they're going to get a little break heading into next week when they travel to Lakeland, Florida to take on the Tropics and to square off against Tacoma and everyone's arch rival, the San Diego Sockers. The match versus the Sockers will be on Thursday, February 18th at 4 p.m. And then the Fury will take on Tacoma Friday, February 19th at 12 p.m. And then finally, they tackle the first place Tropics on Sunday at 1 p.m. Thankfully, they don't play on February 20th, which is Panda's birthday.
Ooh, ooh. Why don't you tell everybody how old you are, Panda?
I will not do that on this pod.
All times are Pacific Standard, by the way. Yeah, I know. Some of the times look kind of screwy. Thursday at 4 p.m., weird. Friday at noon, weird. Sunday at 1, okay, cool. But that's the case. Now, that's all the time that we have for you today, folks, on Striking Fury with Philly and the Panda. We hope you enjoyed this fun-filled weekend of sports. For me personally, it didn't matter who won the Super Bowl. I'm a Jets fan. You want to hear about irony? As a Jets fan, having Tom Brady in your division as a member of the Patriots, it was odd seeing the Patriots knocked out of the Super Bowl, yet I still had to watch the man in the Super Bowl. Irony at its finest, but it was a fun-filled weekend because we got to see the Fury play. We got to see the Fury win. It's fantastic.
Yes, the Fury are undefeated. The season is in full swing to partial swing since only 7 of 17 teams are playing, but it is what it is, and we are so happy we are able to come to you and give you these game recaps.
Absolutely, and we are going to end this episode. We've found multiple ways at this point to end this episode, but we're going to make it interesting for you every time, but we're always going to start with
Strike hard.
Rise with fury.
It's getting furious.
You were just listening to Striking Fury with Billy and Panda, the official podcast for your Ontario Fury. Subscribe on Spotify, Apple, Google Podcasts, and follow us on Instagram at Striking Fury. Ontario Fury.